But we pray that through faith in you, we would be those who have peace with God and peace with one another. For your sake. Amen. This morning we're continuing our meditations in the book of Colossians, which Bob gave us, chapter 3. It may be a great help to have it in front of you as we look at this lengthy passage quite briefly. And it may be found on 1184 in these small Bibles at any rate. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. I'd like to start by asking you to cast your mind back to school science lessons and by asking you whether you preferred the theory lessons or the practical lessons. Now, for me, I was interested enough in the theory lessons. I love science. I love finding out how things work. But the lessons that really caught my imagination were the practical lessons. The dissection of a sheep's heart. The firing of a jet of flame across the laboratory. The screams of terror, that was just from the teachers. The pouring of powerful acids into the pockets of other boys' blazers. These were the things which fascinated me in the practical science lessons. Well, we have reached, in the letter to the Colossians, the hinge between the theoretical and the practical. So here is the Apostle Paul writing to this young church in the town of Colossae, people who have only recently received Jesus as Lord. And he tells them first the theory of what Jesus has done to bring them freely into relationship with God. And then now, in chapter 3, he hinges and he starts to explain the practical, how they live this out in their daily lives. And I know that we are those who long to live out our Christian faith practically. And there's much help for us in this passage about how we do that. In a nutshell, the message is this. Jesus Christ has given you a whole new life. So practically, live a lifestyle that matches the new life you have received. So we'll be thinking about new life and new lifestyle. The first thing Paul tells his readers is that they need to understand that by coming to Jesus, they have received a whole new life. A wonderful message for these Colossians and for us. So he says to them in verses 1 to 4, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." In receiving Jesus, they had received a whole new life. We might imagine the poor African orphan who is adopted by a loving family. What a change for that child. They go from poverty to plenty, from loneliness to being in a loving family. They go from having no prospects ahead of them to the prospect of a rich life. You could almost say that that orphan has been given a whole new life when they're adopted. Well, Paul tells his readers that in receiving Christ as Lord, they have received a whole new life. At one time, these Colossians were separated from God by their sins, separated from life with the Creator who loves them. But by receiving Jesus, they have been raised to new life with him. Their sins have been dealt with. They've been brought into a living relation with the God who loves them. That's why Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, Christ is now their very life. He's their greatest treasure, the one they live for, their daily help, their closest friend. And he reminds them that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This new life, it starts now, but it continues to a glorious eternity with Christ. So Paul wants his readers to know that in receiving Jesus, it's not like they've just taken on a new hobby to add on to their life. It's not like taking up sailing or taking up fishing. No, in receiving Jesus, they have received a whole new life with God. Life in relation with their Creator, centered on Jesus and heading for glory with him. That's why he urges us, set your hearts on things above. We face many stresses and pressures, excitements and opportunities in this life, and God cares about each one of them. But he doesn't want us to become preoccupied by the worries of this life, but also to lift our hearts to things above and to remember the new life we have received with Christ in relation with God for now and for eternity. So if you like, that's the theory. Understand that in receiving Christ as Lord, you've received a whole new life with God forever. And now Paul moves from the theory to the practical. And the practical is this: the challenge to live a new lifestyle which matches the new life we've been given. We can see how Paul urges us to do this if I read from verse 5. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the old life: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Receiving a new life calls for a new lifestyle which is consistent with it. So think again of that orphan who is adopted. They've received a new life with a loving family. Well, there's a new lifestyle that matches that. It would no longer be appropriate for them to beg for food. That was their old life. Now they have all the food that they could want. It's no longer appropriate for them to sleep rough. That was the old life. Now they're at the heart of a loving family. A new life calls for a new lifestyle which matches it. And Paul puts his finger on certain areas of living which are part of the old life without God, but no longer appropriate in the new life with him. And you can see them for yourselves in those verses that I read. But notice in verse 5, he points out greed. So greed, always wanting to amass more for ourselves, wanting to take and hold on to, rather than to give and share. Well, such greed may be appropriate for the old life, before we knew God. But in the new life, in relation with the God who is generous, how inappropriate such greed is. In verse 8, Paul says, "You must now rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, and slander." Well, again, that anger that can come from wounded pride or selfishness, that anger that can lead to bitterness and to malice, that may have been appropriate in the old life without God. But now we're in living relationship with the God who is love. How inappropriate such anger and malice is. He says in verse 9, "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self." So lies, white lies, excuses, they may be appropriate for the life without God, but having been brought into a new life with the God whose every word is truth, how inappropriate it is for us to lie to each other. Just as when the orphan receives a new life, it calls for a new lifestyle that matches it. So we who have been given new life with God are challenged to live a lifestyle that matches what we have received. Now, of course, old habits die hard. And that's why Paul writes these things to us. It's not as if these things disappear straight away, sadly. Old habits die hard. But it's our job, with the help of God, to strive to live a new lifestyle that matches the new life we have received. So this is how Paul relates the theory and the practical. In receiving Jesus, we've received a whole new life. The practical challenge: live a lifestyle that matches it. Now the order here is very important as we finish. Important to notice, it's new life that comes first as a gift and leads to new lifestyle. So sometimes people imagine that the message of Christianity is, first of all, try to live a really good lifestyle. And if you get it good enough, God might give you new life. But that's not the message of the Bible at all. Now the message of the Bible is a message of grace. It says God gives us a whole new life as a gift. From the first day we receive Jesus, we have that new life. And then the challenge is, having received new life, strive to live a new lifestyle that matches it. And actually that message of grace, of new life already received, gives us the motivation and the power to strive to lead the lifestyle that matches it. So what an encouragement for the Colossians and for us. In receiving Christ, we have received a whole new life with God for now and forever. But there's a challenge that goes with it. He urges his readers, live a new lifestyle that matches the life we have received. Amen.